conservatism invested in Alaska's future. This is the Glenn Beagle Show on AM 7 KBYR. You're listening to The Patriot.
All right, folks. Well, welcome back to the program. Well, the Fire Island story is a little bit complicated, but it's of great interest. It is a payoff for the new members of the Chugach Electric Board to a huge donor and somebody who helps them out in the background, Siri Corporation. So what they've decided to do is utilize extensive amounts of your money that you pay to Chugach Electric in order to buy a very efficient electricity source. You know, somewhere on the order of about four or five times less effective, four or five times more expensive energy than you get from a gas-powered plant, and maybe even 10 times as expensive as you get from a coal-fired plant. And so that is what you got. So if you didn't vote in the last Chugach Electric meeting, or in the last election, this is what you have wrought for your failure to act. So what they say here is, and every time they write that it can provide power to 6,000 homes, that's the subtitle, Fire Island Wind Power Project moves closer to reality. This is a huge political payoff, my friends. You have never seen corruption on this level, other than in the previous time when Bill Allen was active in the legislature. This is unbelievably corrupt. Fire Island Wind Power Project moves closer to reality. Towers would provide power to 6,000 homes. Now, I just want to rewrite the sentence so that the sentence is literally correct. Towers would provide occasional power to 6,000 homes. They don't provide permanent power for any homes because the wind doesn't always blow, even on Fire Island. And who knows how effective they'll be when we have lots of snowfall. But the idea that towers would provide power to 6,000 homes is a flat-out misstatement. That is not true. It would provide occasional power for 6,000 homes. Now, you know what I'd like to see? I was thinking about this. A chargeback system where if they ever fell beneath a certain floor, because we have to run generators, we have to expend gas energy, we have to expend coal energy in order to prepare for the moment at which wind power fails. We have to be ready at all times. So we keep a baseline of generators generating power, but not necessarily putting it on the grid, just sort of running in the background. That takes an enormous amount of energy. We are going to pay them, this is all profit, we're going to pay them 9.7 cents per kilowatt hour just for the power, and they don't have to pay us anything for the baseline power generation. Not a dime, not a cent. When what they should do is they should pay us hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for the opportunity to sell us occasional power, because their occasional power costs us money. Now, not only do you get the benefit of paying all of the background online power costs for this wind farm, you also, through your federal tax dollars, are going to pay for the connect, and you're going to pay additional costs in addition to that. So this wind power, for which Siri gets all of the benefit, none of the costs, this is the arrangement from Siri to Chugach Electric. And the corrupt people who you just allowed to be put on the board of Chugach Electric, they've implemented this project. Oh, it's a sweet deal. Siri's got absolutely nothing to lose. Most of these things are going to be paid for. See, because they don't have to pay for any of the costs, but they get all of the profits. I mean, you talk about, I remember people talking about, well, we subsidize people's failure and then we privatize the profits. That's what this is. All of the loss, in other words, all of the background baseline energy production, we still have to pay that. And every once in a while, when they actually do produce energy, somewhere between 20 and 25, 30% of the time, we'll pay them for 100% of the energy that they do produce, even though they don't pay us at all for any of the costs to allow that production. Let me go to the phones here and talk to Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hey, how's it going, Glenn?
Good.
Hey, you kind of stole my thunder with the having to run generators there as a backup at all times.
It's very important. Most people don't know that, Pete.
Yeah, and then the other thing, didn't they sue Chugiak just a little while ago because they wouldn't pay him before they changed, before the election changed hands?
Mm-hmm.
They sued him because they wouldn't. They said we need you to predict how much power you're going to produce at least a day ahead of time. And now of course they've got the people in office.
Oh no, they've got just who they want. Every single one of these people is a hack. We'll never see a good proper control over Chugach Electric again, Pete. It's a real tragedy.
Yeah, and wind doesn't really make sense anywhere in the U.S. that I've heard of.
It can make, you know, there's a couple of places where it can make sense, but I'm not sure that Fire Island is the right place for it. But I think out in the villages, you know, we pay a huge amount of money for power out there, and maybe a wind project out there might be all right. Hey, I appreciate it, Pete. Thanks for that.
Thanks.
Joseph, welcome to the program.
Hey, Glenn. Listen to your show. I'd just like to make a quick comment. You had just said that, and I'm paraphrasing here, the corrupt people that are put on the board of Chugach, you know, I know some of those people, and that's really out of line to say that.
Well, what do you call it? How do you?
Well, look, it's your show. You can call it what you want. I'm saying as a listener.
Yeah. No, it's very strong language, but I don't see it any other way.
You're calling them out. And you're
making calling them out. That's exactly right. You justify what you've done here, board of Chugach Electric. You show me how this isn't a payoff back to Siri Corporation and how the Siri Corporation isn't indirectly funding through your unions your election. That's exactly what I'm saying.
No, what I'm saying is if you want to make a charge like that, that would be up to you to prove that. Don't back end it and say, now you show me why that's not true. Anyways,
no, I know it is true. I'm asserting it right here. I'm asserting that Siri Corporation has made a backroom and terrible deal for the city of Anchorage, for the Chugach ratepayers. This is a complete political payoff. This is a backhanded deal. It is a backroom deal. It is horrible for us.
Right.
It is a ripoff of every person who pays dues into Chugach Electric.
Well,
it's horrible, and it is a terrible,
somebody,
awful deal.
Maybe you can get somebody in the Daily News to do a look-see into that.
Oh, really?
And then they could prove you right. But anyways,
the Anchorage Daily News wouldn't do a real story on anything having to do with Chugach Electric or these unions, these IBEW union members or Siri, if their life depended on it.
Okay, then maybe you could get some other government agency to look into it if you say that's true. However, I just thought that was a bold statement to make about fellow citizens that, I know, do you know these people personally?
I know where they come from. I know a lot of the things that they've done in the legislature and other things, who they work for.
I understand. Anyways, that was my comment. I don't mean to badger you about it, but I felt strong enough to call.
Well, no, I appreciate that. Look, sometimes I make very strong comments, and this is one of those cases where this is a very serious problem. We have allowed, through our inaction, the IBEW, back-ended with Siri, and a lot of backroom deals for the leftists in this state who love power, and they love taking money from people who are just barely making it right now. And they are going to increase your costs dramatically for power. And they're not telling you the truth. They didn't give you a single piece of information in this Anchorage Daily News article. It is simply written right from the Siri point of view and the IBEW. So I don't expect for the left. They have already circled their wagons. They already got what they wanted. What they wanted was a lot higher cost for you, a boondoggle project from beginning to end that's going to cost you more money. That's a complete waste of money. And they're not going to tell you one bit of truth about it. The reason that the last board rejected this is because it was a politically corrupt scheme. And that's the truth of it. I'll be back.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, call us right now at 274-5297. Speak your mind.
Get on your phone.
On the Patriot. AM 700. KYR.
All right. right, folks, welcome back to the program. This is your afternoon affair, your daily drive. It's required radio. It's the Glenn Beagle program. So you tell me how you read this. Fire Island Wind Power Projects moves closer to reality. Towers would provide power to 6,000 homes. That is, they would not provide power to 6,000 homes, by the way. That's not a correct statement. They would occasionally provide power to 6,000 homes, a deal that would allow Cook Inlet Regional, SERI, to build an electricity-generating wind turbine farm on Fire Island is in the final stages. The board of Chugach Electric Association, newly elected and all supported by the IBEW, the biggest power utility in Alaska, is scheduled to consider today a proposed contract to buy wind power from SERI. I don't see any problem, Chugach member Jim Nordland said Tuesday. The board last week unanimously agreed to terms that make up the deal, he said. The agreement calls for SERI to deliver electricity from 11 wind turbines capable of producing a maximum. By the way, all of these maximums are totally bogus. They never are able to produce the maximum, about enough to provide electricity to 6,000 households. Wind turbines only work 20 to 30% of the time, even in the windiest areas of the country. That means that 60 or 70 or 80% of the time they won't be providing any electricity, and yet we'll have to make up the cost for them not providing the electricity, which they will be paid for. The nest of turbines, blah, 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 blah. This is the important thing. The city-owned Municipal Light and Power made an offer to SERI earlier this year, but SERI executives said it was so low that it was unworkable. That's not 2 years ago, it's not 10 years ago, it's this year. Now, why would they do that? Why would Chugach Electric, who just had a bunch of leftists put on their board by the IBEW and ostensibly by SERI, why would they pay so much more than Municipal Light and Power? What could the cause of that be? If Municipal Light and Power gave them an unworkable amount, but yet Chugach Electric gave them a very workable amount, what do you think of that? Why do you think that is? Now, I happen to know the back end of this deal, and it's a dirty double cross of the citizens of who pay Chugach's bills. That's the reality of it. The Chugach price and SERI agreed for wind-generated electricity at $97 per megawatt hour. Now, why would they say that? Why don't they say 9.7 cents per kilowatt hour? That's just the bare cost. The cost to upkeep the line between them and us, that will be borne by us. The cost for the rest of the distribution grid, that will be borne by us. The cost for baseline power will be borne by us. They get all the profit, and we get all the costs. Now, that's brilliant. That really works out. Now, if they could just get the whole thing paid for by the federal government, we could bear all the costs, or at least our kids could. That's higher than the average cost now, said Yeager. See who Yeager is here. Jim Yeager, spokesman for SERI. That's higher than the average cost of power now. He's not talking about your cost for power. Your cost for power is much higher than 9.7 cents per kilowatt hour, but they haven't added on the line costs. They haven't added on all the other costs. That is zero cost for any employees. Zero cost for the other infrastructure. But this is a 25 years at a fixed price. As energy prices go up, it will look more and more attractive. That is true. But that doesn't make it any better of a deal. I can tell you Municipal Light and Power had their costs on this exactly right. And it would be unworkable. You cannot balance, and this is going to dramatically increase your costs. Here's what they say in the Anchorage Daily News. Chugach experts, Chugach expects electric rates for its customers to rise slightly in the short term by about $20 per year for an average household that uses 700 kilowatt hours of electricity per month. So they just passed a $20 tax on you per year. That's what it costs you right off the top, and I can guarantee you it'll be much more than that. So welcome to not voting. Welcome to not participating in an election. I always try to tell you that these things make a difference of around $100 a year is probably what it'll end up being between all the contract costs and these bad deals they make, these bad, corrupt actions that they will take with other big name players in the energy market. And renewable energy rather than affordable energy. So you'll pay $100 more this year and then $200 more next year and then $300 more the year after that. Let me go to the phones here. 274-5297. 274-5297. Toll free is 1-866-610-5297. Email Glenn with one N at KBYR.com. And you can, you should, you must, you will get in my Facebook. And there you will find my question of the day. Also go to KBYR.com. You can look us up on the blog site or you can listen to the podcast or download podcasts. Actually, I think we live stream, and then you can download the podcast. Anyway, to Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hey, how you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I wanted to thank you for taking Chugiak Electric to task on this and address something from that other caller. He asked you if you knew these people. And the correct answer to that is yes. You don't know people by what they say, by the job they do, or by where they live. You know people by their actions. And the actions of Chugiak Electric in this deal are appalling and need to be addressed.
I agree.
So thank you.
I agree. There should be public records requests. We should be looking into whether or not there were payoffs. We should be looking into all kinds of stuff on this one. This is dirty from beginning to end, no doubt about it. I appreciate that, Jason. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, I was really, really upset when I got in the mail after it was too late to resubmit a ballot.
Oh, no.
Yes, a thing sent to me from the, I guess, the official accountants that do the ballot counting, that my signature didn't match that of my application.
Really?
I cannot believe that. I mean, I don't sign my name the same identical way in the morning as I do in the afternoon. I mean, this blew my mind.
Is that really a legal thing to do? I'd love to hear from an attorney, 274-5297. Can Chugach Electric actually, without due course, because you should have recourse, legal recourse, because you're a member of this co-op, to actually object to their objection and go in and physically present your signature. So the idea that they could get away with this, that just seems really odd to me.
Well, the problem with me going forward with it is that the deadline, when I got the letter in the mail, it was already, it was noon that day that I would have had to respond, and I didn't get home till like 5 o'clock, all right, even electronically, okay? I couldn't have done it.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, I just wonder if there's other people out there that got that. I am absolutely appalled and amazed that I was disenfranchised as far as, my vote is concerned. Totally. Just ripped off from my vote. And I believe it was Pratt and Kalinka that I voted for exclusively, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it, and I got ripped off from my vote. I just wonder if there's any other listeners out there that happened to, because I smell a rat here.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, yes. Greg. Marcus, welcome to the program.
How are you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing very well.
You know, the thing that we're going to have to do, and I would suggest you do for all your listeners, is help to educate them with the importance of this. Look at the camps that these guys all play in. I'm a contractor, and they just had that fire station number 6 go out for bid.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you were willing to sign a document stating that you'd only use the IBEW or you were willing to agree to their terms, you couldn't even bid on the project as a general.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and that was something that Begich put in before he left office.
See, I don't understand why this is constitutional, because it just seems so odd that someone can politically pay for a favor through Mark Begich and then get and then control essentially a monopoly in the marketplace. It seems against the Constitution. It seems anti-competitive. It seems like a monopoly.
That's right, but look at your wording. Your wording is exactly the same as 99.9% of Americans. Your wording is reflective of not understanding your Constitution, and I'm guilty of that as well. And it's not an accident that we do not understand our Constitution. Instead, we are taught social studies and not constitutional studies, because if we knew our rights, people would not be able to rip them off. And you look, you've got a media, like you said, the Anchorage Daily News. They're not going to print anything, because why? Because they're a lib organization, as are all the other TV stations. And I have not given a dime to that newspaper or any other liberal rag in the entire time I've lived in Alaska, and I'm not going to start now. In fact, I don't watch CNN, even when I'm at the gym. The only station I'll turn on is Fox News. And that's how you beat these people. You take away their ability to send out their liberal propaganda. And that's when people will wake up.
Well, we're not beating them. See, that's the thing, is they won the Chugach Electric. They had 2,000 more voters, union members, who went out and took the time, 10 or 15 minutes, to vote for their union-supported candidates, and the rest of us just couldn't bother ourselves to get off the couch. And,
well,
and
right,
they won, and now they've got huge contracts, and they've got massive amounts of waste and money that they're giving to Siri for no positive public purpose whatsoever.
But that's the thing. The union boys know where their bread is buttered.
Yes,
your average U.S. citizen, especially in Anchorage, does not understand.
$100 a year. $100 a year is just not a big enough deal, and the union members know that their new contracts will be worth at least $2,000 to $3,000 a year, so they have a 20 to 30 times the financial interest in going out and ensuring that their people got elected to the board. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to explain it to people. I went over this with people. I just wish people would, just for the sake of decency, for the sake of their citizenship, get off your couch and vote when it comes time for any of these little elections like Chugach Electric. It's not going to be little for much longer. They admit that just this one decision, it costs you at minimum $20, and I'll guarantee it's more like $50.
Do you know how much it really costs? The Obama administration recently, through one of his czars, just sent out a policy, because I contract federally, that they are out there investigating if anybody is going to be willing to buy off on project labor agreements. The project labor agreements, along with the LEED certifications and all this nonsense that we have to do on base, it adds 40 to 60%.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, people don't realize how expensive
we're
it
finished
is
as
to
a country. If we can't figure this stuff out, if we can't figure out how to have better competition and fairer competition that's not forcibly unionized, we just simply aren't going to be able to afford to continue to live.
Our founding father said our form of government won't survive in an ignorant electorate. That's when we started having this nonsense.
You're right.
When the people didn't understand their constitution.
I agree. Hey, I appreciate it, Marcus. Thanks so much. You know, he made a comment there about the Anchor's Daily News, and I made one earlier. You know, I've always believed, and I wonder if anybody else believes this too, that the Anchorage Daily News is deathly afraid of people like Chugach Electric, who's unionized. Because the Anchorage Daily News is not unionized, and they know that if they became unionized, they instantaneously would go bankrupt. And so they don't print stuff against any other unionized organization because they are deathly afraid that someone will say, you print anything against us, we'll unionize your shop, and we'll see what happens. And that's one of my theories. Maybe that's crazy. I mean, maybe that's just complete insanity. Let me go back to the phones. 274-5297, 274-5297. Talk to Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Glenn. I just kind of wanted to offer a counterpoint. I was kind of sidestepping the popular opinion running a corporation and the voting and whether or not that happened or not. I'm going to go into the fact that as a combat vet, I fully support renewable resources wherever they or whether we have solar or wind power. That just makes me more comfortable in, you know, the country's future and our ability to stay out of these countries that really are not fun to be in, you know, that people are dying and being injured and being maimed for, I wouldn't say oil, but the interests of the United States and our logistical chains. It'd be nice if those logistical chains were in our backyard, like Fire Island.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for your service. I think it's wonderful what you've done. I'm hoping my son follows in your footsteps. The other thing, though, is, but why would we want to charge ourselves more money for electricity rather than less? I mean, why would Municipal Light and Power give them a much lower figure than Chugach Electric, who had just been elected by the IBEW?
Well, aside from the fact that renewable resources and what they offer for us in terms of our security as a nation, I think that we can't really satisfy that argument until we look at the price of energy in 10, 15, 20, 25 years as compared to if we were paying for it in another way through coal or a non-renewable resource, you know, with that wind power. And then you might have an argument one way or the other, but really saying now that we're wasting our money is saying that you know what the price of non-renewable resources are going to be in 25 years, I think.
Well, I know the last board, not controlled by the IBEW, objected to this contract. I know Municipal Light and Power objects to this contract. It seems to me fairly obvious that this contract is not a good deal.
Well, I mean, I can't speak for those boards and those people that are probably very highly knowledgeable about their bottom line overhead and their costs.
I mean, agree with you.
I know some of the employees at MLMP are very, very well compensated, and some of the employees at Chugiak are very well compensated. Maybe one is less compensated than the other, and they're able to eke out that profit and make that gamble on that 25-year bet.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I do have one other comment on renewable resources. I don't think these wind turbines, by the way, are renewable resources. We have to replace the wind turbines. We'll have to have upkeep on them. And they use massive amounts of mining materials in order to create them. But I would say that as far as Alaska goes, with the greatest store of non-renewable resources in the world, for us to discount those is really cutting off our nose to spite our face. I appreciate your call, Brian. Thank you so much. I'll be back and take more of your phone calls, 274-5297. It's Glenn, and it's Free Flower Wednesday. I'll be back. Get back to the phones here in just a second, but there was one comment that that did kind of surprise me. To be a supporter of renewable resources, no matter what, I don't remember the exact term that was used. You know, I oftentimes think that there is a religious fervor that is associated with how we generate electricity. And I think that if you generate electricity with coal, people tend to think you're evil. And if you generate renewable electricity, I don't really consider anything other than hydro to be truly renewable, really. But if you generate it that way, then you are a morally good person. And that is the kind of fervor that I hear sometimes. You know, if we're going to pay 20, 30, 40 cents, if we're going to pay three or four times the amount of money for our electricity from this Windfire Island, in addition to all the costs that we have to cover for them, well, I mean, at some point, people can't eat. You are making the decision that you don't want people to eat or have medicine or be able to be free or have a vacation. And instead, they're going to be funding Chugach Electric. Now, that is a moral choice. That is a very serious thing. And I think people bypass the seriousness of this desire to move to renewable energy before the technology has caught up. Let me go to the phones here and talk to Rebecca. Hello, Rebecca.
Hey, Glenn. Rebecca Logan. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for calling in. We're on kind of a tough subject here, and I thought
it was
notable.
Well, I just came off the Chugach Electric board in this last election, and I was the one person on that board who was just vehemently opposing this contract. And so
Why would you oppose the contract? Oh, I appreciate that.
There are a couple things going on. Number one, in the priority of things that Chugach needed to be working on right now, Fire Island Wind Power was way down at the bottom of the list. Unfortunately, with the people who are in the majority on the board, they made it the number one priority for the staff. And they made the staff feel like they were going to lose their jobs if they didn't get this contract done. And
why is it so important? Because I had heard that there was a lot of behind the scenes, you know, sort of arm twisting, maybe, you know, indirect support from Siri and things like that for the IBEW and the election of these candidates. Where did the pressure come from? Why would this go from such a low priority project to a high priority project at such an enormous cost to the people who buy power from Chugach?
Because you have people who were on our board who totally are, as your previous caller just said, committed to renewable energy no matter what. It's almost a religion that they believe in. And a couple of them ran promising that they would make the Fire Island Wind Project happen no matter what. And so, you know, this board spent a year and a half in really intense negotiations and reading tons of stuff about it. And even though the people who are on the board who supported it so much, they recognized that there were a lot of issues with it. And they couldn't get it done the way they wanted to get it done. It couldn't be that massive 56-megawatt project. And so, but they were still felt like they had to have a wind project because that's what they believe in. And so they just pushed and pushed.
How much wind does a wind farm create? Is it 100% of the time?
No. Oh, no. If you're 30% is considered to be good.
And does it cost us? Where they're going to pay them every time they do happen to generate electricity. They're going to pay them for every erg of electricity that they create. But is there any cost to us as
sure.
they go about the process of generating electricity?
Yeah, because we have to compensate. We have to have a variable fuel supply for all the times that that wind isn't blowing. We got to have something to compensate for that. And the only thing you got right now to compensate for that is gas, which is expensive. And so that's kind of one of those unknown unknowns. And now I haven't been in on the last 30 days of negotiations, so I don't know all the details. So I can't imagine that they've changed that much, but that's a big expense. What are you going to use to regulate the wind?
What about the 25-year contract? Because I do like that aspect of it where we sort of lock in, even though it's much higher cost for generating power. What about that?
Well, that was something that was tossed out. There was the notion of a 25-year contract with the rate the same.
Do you think that will be true in 25 years?
You know what? Here's what I see happening. SERI wanted to build a 56-megawatt project, and they wanted all the rail belt utilities to buy from them. The only people they could get to even talk to them was Chugach Electric, and they had to scale it back to a 17-megawatt project.
Because it was so much more expensive per megawatt.
Well, because they couldn't get anybody else to buy.
Oh, well,
the other utilities wouldn't even talk to him.
Right.
And so, but Chugach, because of the board that they had, the majority on the board was forcing this project on the staff and pretty much told them, you make this work. So we were talking to them. And so they had to even get it something to be even remotely palatable to people. They had to scale it all the way back down to 17 megawatts. Hmm. Now.
Well, I guess we can be thankful for that because it would have been much more expensive for us if they had gone with the larger project, right?
I guess so, but I think one of the things that people need to watch out about with this board is people need to pay attention to what they're doing. You know, they passed a board policy 124 about 3 months before the election that I'm the only one who voted against.
Hey, Rebecca, we're out of time right now, but can I ask you to call in and keep us up to date on what goes on at Chugach?
Absolutely.
Stuff? I appreciate that.
All right.
Thanks so much. Rebecca Logan, who was on the board
thanks.
A little while ago. We'll be back in just a few minutes, folks.
Yes, when the simple basics elude the brainiacs, it's time to face facts through the prism of the man from Spinard. Here's one of the Patriots' finest contributors. Here's Glenn Beagle.
In the state of Alaska, the Democrat Party, who actually has a new leader, Kay Brown or somebody like that, let me see. This is in the last, yeah, Kay Brown, who was head of one of the environmental organizations, is now head of the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party is very small, but they have these extraordinarily strong, quote, nonpartisan groups like the IBEW, the Teachers Union, and that really is the backbone of the party. Yeah, they get money from the government, and they elect people to get more money from the government. And the people who they elect are notoriously on the left, and that's what they've done with the Chugach Electric elections. And so now we have a board made up 100% of people who are IBEW backed, and they're going to have a heyday. You know, the IBEW members don't care whether or not, of course, they'll help build Fire Island, I'm sure, so they'll get paid for that. But they don't care how much you get charged for electricity. And that is not their primary concern. They elected people who would back union contracts, and yeah, they came along with some baggage. The baggage was, we're going to charge you more for the electricity that SERI Corporation wants to generate. They're getting money from the feds, they're getting money from the state, they're getting money from you, they're getting money from everyone other than themselves, and here they are, they're going to generate electricity at a much higher cost, and you're going to pay for it. And you didn't vote, so you can't complain. And that's the story we have right now. Anyway, let me go back to the phones here. 274-5297. 274-5297. Talk to Al. Hello, Al.
Hello, Glenn. Al Kaminsky. I happen to be driving into the house and listening to you on the car and wondering where did you get up to speed on the truth about wind power and solar power?
I have read a number of things about it, and I remember a table which gave the cost for the different power sources. It gave nuclear, it gave coal, it gave gas-fired. It gave wind power, and it gave hydroelectric power. And this was in, on the East Coast, where they have fairly dramatic and fairly large-sized wind farms. So anyway, but the cost was, it was about the same for nuclear and for coal. Gas was, and that was about 2.5 cents per kilowatt hour. Gas was about 3.5 cents per kilowatt hour. And it went up fairly dramatically from there. They had on-land wind farm was about 11 cents, and in the water wind farm was about 13 cents. So it was somewhere between 300-400% more expensive to do power generation from wind farms, and they even admit, Chugach Electric admits that power generation from these will be much more expensive.
I wasn't looking at the expense so much as I was the actual knowledge you had about the problems associated with wind power and
how much of the time they produce power.
Well, let me. I got involved in that some years ago in atmospheric research. Fire Island was involved. I won't say who I was working for at the time, but it was a research facility.
Uh-huh.
And a well-known chemical plant with a really good history of purity wanted to put a chemical plant on Fire Island, and there wasn't enough wind. And because the wind contributes to what they call the ventilation factor, and they didn't have enough ventilation. So I don't want to go into that too much. And all of a sudden now they say, well, there's so much wind there, we're going to harness it. A lot of people don't know this, but wind power is not storable.
Yes.
And neither is solar power. And I have a metaphor that I use that if you put the windmills all over South Dakota and you wanted to store it, you would have to cover North Dakota with batteries.
that wouldn't be very environmentally friendly, would it?
I'm surprised how little people know about it, though, because if you just think about it for a minute, if you go in with a wind farm, and it so happens that the one at Fire Island could be more feasible than others, but still not feasible, you go in with your pads and your stands, your towers and your windmills and your roads and your infrastructure, and they're collecting wires, and then you have to have long wires to connect you to a distribution center. And herein lies the sweet part. The distribution center can be only of certain types that can facilitate and manage the varying output of the wind farm. Hmm. And people don't really know this, but the last I checked on it about 5 years ago, the distribution center, let's say Chugach Electric, they charge 15% of the value of the electricity that the fans produce to manage the variations in flow. And that the last I heard that the government was subsidizing wind flow at a rate of 15% to balance out this pseudo discrepancy. But I got to admit, along this time, I kind of lost the interest in the whole operation.
So, Al, let me ask you a question about that, because it's an interesting point. So the fluctuations mean that you have to have more sensitive equipment, it's more expensive, and it has to sense the variability, really, before it impacts.
Well, let me tell you the last I heard about it.
Yeah.
Most of your distribution centers do not interface well with wind farms. What they do is they sense the incoming flow from the wind farm. And if it's low, why they have what they call, in one case, one or more spinning generators that aren't producing electricity. But if the wind drops off, it kicks in and produces electricity. So you have these spinning generators for backup. And it turns out that the spinning generators can be gas powered or oil powered, or they can be nuclear powered. And it turns out that the oil-powered generators do not interface well with wind farms, and because they can't react fast enough to the changes in wind output. So the best interfaces are a certain type of gas-powered distribution center with turbines that can react fairly rapidly to the change of the wind power, or nuclear. And nuclear is the best of all. And it just so happens that to have a standard nuclear plant would require requires about 1 square mile of land, and the energy is unending, and it makes a relatively small hole in the ground. Whereas a wind power, to generate the same energy with the wind blowing pretty much at full bore, requires 125 square miles of sand. Now,
my goodness.
Now, this stuff is surprising to me that this stuff is not known. I just wrote down some notes here, which are not well organized, so I'm not going to go any further.
But well, what you're
not going to get it from the newspaper because they don't have the scientists on the staff.
Well, that's true, and they also are believers. It doesn't matter what the cost. Yeah. There is a moral component to energy generation now, and they are dedicated to the idea that we're going to be a more moral, a better country by going to, even if it causes us not to be able to eat, to these generation systems.
You're absolutely right, and it's not their fault. That's the way they're told from day one.
Yes,
and it starts. It starts in the educational system.
Hmm.
If the educational system believes in wind energy, that's what's published in the newspapers.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty much it.
Well, I really appreciate that call. You gave us some really good information, and I want to thank you for providing us, you know, a good background for wind generation. Fire Island is not one of the better wind sites in the country. They're always looking for them. You know, there are some even better ones here in the state of Alaska, out on the west coast of Alaska in some of the villages. There could be even a better opportunity for wind. But even if we got 20 or 30% production, he's right. You know, they have to spin up these massive generators in order to generate power, you know, when the wind power drops off. Well, those generators don't just spin down right away. So when the energy comes back up, right, and then the generator doesn't spin down right away, now it's using a whole bunch of fuel, but it's not generating energy because the wind farms come back up. But the wind farm doesn't have to pay for that generator that's online backing up that wind power that's coming and going and coming and going. We pay for that. And you know, one of the things that Al said that I did want to comment on, he said these aren't feasible. That's wrong. They're completely feasible as long as you pay for them. Even Jim Nordland or whoever the spokesman said, these are immediately going to cost you $20 more a year. And I will guarantee that it will be 2.5 times that. $50 a year is going to be a starting level for you. They admit that. Right off the top. One decision. One project, and a tiny one, 4% of power, just increased your cost however much. I mean, normally you have to vote these things, but what happened was we didn't vote. We didn't go down, we didn't turn in our cards. It's a real tragedy. Let me go back to the phones here and talk to Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Glenn. Interesting discussion, and I guess I'm probably one of the believers of the wind power. But, I do think that probably a lot of those technical issues are real issues, but it seems like a small, if it is a big problem to generate electricity that's too costly, then the project probably will die eventually, and it won't be anymore.
Well, it won't die. They just signed a deal for 25 years. It won't die.
Well, what if it turns out that in 25 years it actually was a good deal? I mean, what if gas prices really are high?
Well, I don't know. I guess what if it turns out that it's a horrible deal? It only produces 30% or maybe even only 20% of the power that it's supposed to, and it kills a bunch of birds, and, you know, then what? We're never going to hear them apologize. I think wind power has a place. This is not a good deal. That's the reason why MLNP and the previous Chugach Electric Board rejected this deal. This is an insider deal between Siri Corporation and these Democrat appointees.
Well, it could be, and I hope it does work. I really do.
Oh, I do too. Look, I hope it doesn't cost us any more than it might. You know, hopefully they've reduced the size of this project, so all it will cost us is $20 a year and give Siri, you know, a few tens of millions of dollars and not hundreds of millions of dollars of your and my money. Hey, I appreciate it, Mark. Thank you very much.
Oh.
Niels, is it? Oh, Nels? Nels. Hello, Nels.
Yeah, hi. I'm a retired electrical engineer, spent quite a bit of time in power generation.
Yeah.
And MLNP had it right. They were asking for 20 megawatts of power. That's what Siri said they could sell them. They said, great, give us 20 meg. Well, they can't guarantee that. The problem with alternate energy systems is if you put in a 1-megawatt system, you have to have 1 megawatt of diesel backup or natural gas to guarantee a consistent flow.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do that.
And wouldn't it be fair, because this is what I'm thinking, right? We're going to pay them anytime they generate electricity, even if we still have generators spun up and we don't need any of it. But let's say they do generate electricity. Wouldn't it be fair that if they fall below a certain threshold, then we charge them back for not providing us the electricity? Do you think they'd go for that deal?
Well, if it's me, I'm going to tell them exactly what MLNP did. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's all a control system.
Mm-hmm.
You can basically, if you've got a series of, if you've got a bunch of generators in parallel, the programs are really canned for which one comes on when. I mean, it's simple. It's done. It's been done for years.
Mm-hmm.
When you toss in, it's not a swing load machine. It's not a base. It's an oddball that's going to generate between 0 and 20 megawatts, and you don't know when. You basically separate that from your grid. You back it up with its own diesel generator so that you can guarantee a flow. The control parameters and the control, they're going to be at it for years trying to get that right, and they should not even be incorporating that into Chugach's control system.
Well, they do this in other states, and isn't the fact is that they just subsidize this with, because they want to feel better about themselves, and it just ends up costing the people who are ratepayers vast, enormous amounts of money, and it's a transfer from the average citizen to Siri, right?
Well, pretty much.
Yeah.
I say it can be done, but
yeah,
what
of course
MLG
it can
wanted,
be done, but it'll be very expensive,
wanted,
right?
Was, okay, if you're going to do that, you stick in a 20-megawatt generator that we can count on and let that thing.
Right, you take the hit. That's a great point, Nels. I appreciate it. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned, folks. We're in the murky world of politics mixing with energy here. And Chugach Electric, what a powerful organization. It is a powerful force in politics, and it's a powerful force for those who have to get more. And unfortunately, what is going on right now is for somewhat religious almost reasons. We have the newly elected board member supported all by the IBEW. There's an old, a Democrat legislator in the mix. There is renewable resources champions. And so anyway, this project got moved up from the bottom of the heap to the top of the heap. And luckily it was downsized, because that would have cost us an immense additional amount of money. And if I understood what Nels just said, what he said was, this is from MLNP. All right, wind farm dudes. We'll buy 20 megawatts of power. Now, we don't care how you generate the 20 megawatts of power. We'll buy the 20 megawatts of power. Here's how much we'll buy it for. And they looked at him and said, we can't provide 20 megawatts of power. We can provide between 0 and 17 megawatts of power. We have no idea how much or when or if or whatever. We just want you to buy our power when we want to generate it for you. And MLNP looked at them with very wise and said, do you realize how much that would cost us to be able to take your power when you want to give it to us? No deal. No deal. Well, Chugach Electric came up with a different decision. Not only are they going to buy power at a higher cost, even at a baseline, without any of the additional costs that are going to be piled on top of us. Just at a baseline, this is going to cost you at least $20 a year, probably much more, and that doesn't include any of the additional costs for the occasional wind power. Let me go back to the phones here. And by the way, it is Free Flower Wednesday from My Lord's Floral. We're going to be giving away a $50 bouquet at the end of the hour. I'll tell you a little bit more about that after we talk to Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Howdy.
Hi.
Yeah, I mentioned this before. You can do a search. There is not a country in the world where wind power has been tried where it's succeeded, and that is to where it's actually saved money.
Well, I agree with you, but they do generate power. I think 20% of Germany's power, if I'm right, comes from wind power. Is that correct?
That may be correct. I'm not sure.
It's probably expensive, though, right? I mean, it works as long as the people put some kind of religious value on the generation of power. It's not cheap. It's very expensive. It is only occasional, and you have to have lots of backup power. But I agree with you. It doesn't work in, you know, if you take it just in the economic sense.
Now, another thing, don't these wind farms generally slaughter birds?
Yeah, actually, there was a famous story of some very, very rare bird getting taken out by one of the California wind farms.
Right. So name a coal-powered plant, electric plant that has killed a bird. I can't think of an instance where there were like 50 dead birds laying around.
Well,
outside.
I'm sure they have turkey dinner there. Does that count?
Well, it just occurs to me that the left is fine with this.
Aren't they odd? They're the oddest of people, aren't they?
You know, you can't kill a single bird with a coal fire. If there were such an instance, it would be worldwide. They'd shut down all the coal fire plants. And yet these wind farms can slaughter wildlife. And not a word is said.
And they're as ugly as sin. They make all kinds of racket. It's probably good it's out on Fire Island. Hey, I appreciate that call.
And
Kevin,
I wanted to get back to the thing about the cleavage being dangerous in the
UK
hospital.
Do you think the deal is with that?
Okay, I think what that is they're worried about the guy pushing the gurney down a hallway, and he glances over because he notices that some cleavage is exposed.
Uh-oh.
And then he swerves off with the gurney and runs over somebody's sandaled foot.
Runs over his sandaled foot. There it is. There is the tie-in to safety. You've nailed it. Thank you very much, Kevin. Yeah. I appreciate that. Let me give the particulars of the My Lord's Floral giveaway. You know, every week, the only sponsor of this program as far as the floral companies go is My Lord's Floral. They're on the corner of 76th and the Old Seward Highway. You can call them at 522-2535. 522-2535. And every Friday normally, but today it's Wednesday because I'm off for the next couple of days. I'll be fishing. Pray for me. I'll try to do my best. It may not go well. I'm looking at Michael Schwartz. It may not go well. I may not return. We'll see. Now, this has nothing to do with my talent because this is fishing with a 90-foot net, which I may even be able to do. We'll have to see. But MyLordsFloral.com gives away a $50 bouquet of flowers in a stainless steel travel mug right here on this program, usually every Friday, but today on Wednesday. So if you are caller number 7 at the end of the hour, then you will win the free flower giveaway, a $50 bouquet from Dot at MyLordsFloral.com. And, you know, it's never a bad time to give something beautiful to someone you love. So I do hope that you take an opportunity to do that if you do not win. Let me go back to the phones here and finish up the program with Jim. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, Glenn. Hey, I had to call you. You know, I really get a kick out of these wind generators that they're proposing to put out there on Fire Island. When the environmentalist nutcases came along and turned the whole Cook Inlet into a critical habitat because there's a few whales that aren't being counted. So they're going to go out there and slaughter a whole bunch of birds, maybe some falcons and some eagles and things like that. And
it doesn't make a lot of sense.
I'm not sure. I don't care if they put wind generators up, but I don't really care if a few birds go in there and they chop them up. But you know, on one hand, they want to protect one species, and then they justify their wind generators because they hate oil and they hate coal, so that they can justify killing a whole bunch of birds of prey and eagles. So, you know, just the hypocrisy just never ends with the left.
It never ends at all. You know what's the oddest thing about this is really the purpose of this is to make the people who got elected to the Chugach Electric Board, who are members of the liberal denomination, the only purpose is it will cost you a lot of money. That doesn't make them feel bad, but wind generation makes these people feel good, and it's a beautiful payoff to Siri Corporation. Congratulations, IBEW. You've done it again. God bless you, folks. Michael Schwartz coming up. Stay tuned for his program.
Alaska's favorite, AM 700 KBYR. Anchorage to Park, Prudhoe Bay, and Speed 1 at KBYR.com.